Kia ora, hello, welcome back. You're listening to Dirtbag Radio on 95BFM with me, Rapley, and tonight's special guest, John Baker, in the studio. And actually, right now on the line, we have another very special guest.
We have the guitarist from The Pretty Things, Mr. Dick Taylor.
Hello, Dick, come in.
Hello. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I can hear you playing whatever you're playing at the moment.
Oh yeah, we've got a little bit of local music to talk over here, but we've been listening to a lot of Pretty Things this evening, and it's sounding fire with these mono cartridges exploding off the records.
Oh yeah, Dick, it's John here. We just play Get a Buzz and Buzz the Jerk back to back.
Oh right, oh cool, okay.
What can you remember about recording those two tracks?
I think we did, I'm trying to think, both probably in the Philips studio in Stanhope Place in London. We had Bobby Graham producing it, who was a brilliant drummer, as was Viv, of course. And so they got on very well. And Bobby Graham actually was the drummer on Bits and Pieces.
Not Dave Clark.
Nope.
thanks for that little tidbit. I wasn't familiar with that.
Oh dear. I hope I'm not going to get sued now, but I'm pretty sure it was Bobby. He was known as the session drummer, but he was a very nice guy, very good producer, and occasionally he'd say to Viv, "Oh, do you mind if I drum on this one?" And he actually drummed on Honey, I Need. And I'm trying to think another couple, but or maybe just one more. But, I mean, mostly he was a really nice guy, a producer. But because of his drumming ability, you know, he'd feel like getting his hand in occasionally.
Oh, fantastic. Good on him. Hey, so Dick, if you could just remind us, how young are you now, Dick?
At the last count, I think I had 82 candles on the cake.
And Viv just had 84 on his.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
And I haven't spoken to him for a long while now. But I should do at some point.
He's doing all right, still living in the south of Portugal.
Yeah, cool, good. Yeah.
Hey, so 60 years ago this week, you're in New Zealand. You avoided America, you stopped in Hawaii and got sunburnt, and you avoided Australia.
Yes. I remember when we came, we'd been in Hawaii and we'd been in Fiji, and we got off the plane expecting it to be, you know, the same sort of temperatures. Got off the plane and it was really chilly. I remember John Stacks particularly wearing shorts and going, I think I'm not dressed for this weather.
Wow. So what did you guys think when you were told you're not going to America or Australia, you're going to New Zealand with Sandy Shaw?
We were intrigued, to be honest. Yeah, really. Yeah. Wonder what it would be like, apart from anything else. And the reason that we didn't go to America was purely financial, because a lot of bands were going over there, and for the first couple of tours, they were losing money. And Brian Morrison, who was our manager, did not like losing money. He didn't have money to lose, basically. And we were offered quite a good fee to come to New Zealand, and thought, why not?
Wow.
And,
okay.
It sounded interesting.
And then of course, you bring Viv Prince with you.
Yep. Who managed to cause quite a stir by his slightly odd behaviour.
Well, we've been talking about the crayfish incident. How many crayfish did he go through on the tour, do you think?
the ridiculous thing is, I think it was just one. I don't know how many days he had it for before it got too much even for him. But it would sit, it was, he'd sit it beside him. God knows why. I remember him sitting on the pavement with his crayfish beside him, saying, "I am the king of the world." But, you know, that was Viv.
But Viv was kind of like a one-man kind of PR wrecking machine, wasn't he? I mean, he was making headlines every day.
Well, he did seem to cause quite a stir, whereas we really wanted, you know, we wanted to come and just be known for playing our music. Was it a good thing? Was it a bad thing? What Viv did, I don't know. You know, he did give us massive publicity, and so lots of people saw us, and some of them seemed to like it.
That shows within,
quite a lot of them.
Shows within the book, eh? You've got all these clippings of the news articles of the time, yeah. And there was a lot.
Yeah. Everywhere they went, and Viv seemed to have an axe to grind with the New Zealand Truth here, which for our younger dirtbag listeners was a tabloid.
Was the Truth going back then?
It was going then, and they really went for it with Truth, and in fact it was the Truth that Viv lit at New... Do you want to tell us about what happened in New Plymouth, Dick?
I think there was one incident where Viv, for once, because he did have a quite a proclivity to drink quite a bit. For once, he had a big glass of water in his hand, and this reporter asked him what he was drinking, and he said meth, as in methylated spirits. And the next thing we know is published in the paper was Pretty Things drink meths before going on stage. And it was literally a stupid remark, you know, a facetious remark, because it was absolutely plain, obviously, water, you know. And that then caused a huge ruckus.
Yeah, I can imagine. And what do you remember at New Plymouth about Viv setting the Truth on fire mid-set and holding a flaming torch.
Yeah. Sorry. That was New Plymouth, right. Viv, whether it was the truth or not, I don't know. But what he did was he made like rolled a newspaper up and cut it down the edges and made one of those sort of like things which looks like a kind of paper bunch of flowers sort of thing. And set light to that, ran across the stage with it behind Sandy Shaw or Eden Kane. I can't remember which one it was. Whether it had some sort of deeper meaning in the fact that he was burning the truth, who knows? But that's what I can remember of it. Him just, you know, doing this stupid stunt where he set fire to this paper, and then the local fire chief said, you know, obviously said, look, you can't do stuff like this on stage. And the next thing in the truth is Pretty Things try to set fire to a theatre. Yeah, that's the truth. That is the truth of it.
Pretty Things the arsonists on tour.
Hey, and Dick, I was just telling Rapley before that Viv was actually mentored Keith Moon. Is that true?
Yeah. Well, put it like this. Keith Moon used to come and watch us play in the 100 Club. He was actually a really nice guy, Keith. I got kidney stones, and he took me to hospital. For some reason, I was going off to Scandinavia, and I woke up, and I was in agony, And I came downstairs and there was Keith Moon. Because for some reason we'd driven home in his Rolls Royce the night before, and he slept on my sofa. And anyway, Keith took me to the hospital in a Rolls Royce.
Probably one of the few times Keith had to take someone to hospital. More the other way.
We had another incident with Keith Moon where we went to a party and it was Paul McCartney's brother's party, and Keith was there, and for some reason we found ourselves in this room and there was a bow and arrow there, and we looked out the window and there was a window facing us, which was in another part of the house, an annex or something, and there was Rod Stewart doing his hair, you know, primping his hair up, and we seriously discussed seeing if we could shoot an arrow through his hair. And eventually thought the better of it.
Oh, okay. I think a lot of people want to thank you for doing that.
I wonder if Rod knew how close he came to an arrow in his head.
I never know if he found out, yeah.
Classic. Hey, so an amp that's popular here now with a lot of musicians, an old New Zealand amp, is an amp called the Jansen. And I believe that when the Pretty Things came here, you had to use Jansen amps.
Yep, and I think I got through three of them, because apparently we were not allowed to have any other amplifiers than made in. At that time, New Zealand wouldn't import anything Japanese, apparently anything even American when it came to amplifiers. We had to apparently use the homegrown amps. They sounded great, but for some reason they had a habit of breaking down.
From playing too loud?
Possibly.
Yeah, they still do. We're still using them today. They still do.
Really?
In fact, I watched Rapley's band on Saturday night, and Andrew uses a 75-watt Jansen.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Sounded
all right. Hey, so
I was going to say that should sound brilliant, I should imagine, yeah.
Yeah.
75-watt amp is loud.
Hey, Dick, what was New Zealand like off stage, like, you know, between shows back then? Was it like England 20 years earlier for you, or what?
Absolutely, at least 20 years earlier. It just had this sort of really old-fashioned feel and some really weird laws, like... the pub's closing at 6 p.m, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I remember going in a pub, and it was kind of like a cross between being in a public bar in England and a Western saloon, and all these guys absolutely necking, pint after pint of beer, and getting completely wrecked early evening. Really stupid law, I think.
We called it the 6 o'clock swill.
Yeah, absolutely.
These guys would line it up. So I'm curious, have you ever spoken to Sandy Shaw since that tour? I've reached out to her a few times, but only got one response back saying she never wanted to talk about that tour ever again.
Oh dear. That's a shame. That's really, really a shame. I had a lot of sympathy for her. I mean, there she was, stuck on a bus with the likes of us. Actually, we were pretty good to her. The funny thing is, the person who was friendly with her was Brian Pendleton, our rhythm guitarist. And there was an unfortunate incident with Eden Kane. While he was having a wee against the side of the bus, she was very rightly miffed about it, and she thought she heard Brian talking about it and whacked him over the head with a tray which she had for a cup of tea or whatever. But yes, I mean, yeah, I would not have liked to have been in her shoes. Or
well, not that she wore shoes.
She didn't really wear shoes, did she? But there you go.
And she was on tour with her father. As her,
yeah, that's right. As
guardian.
A manager and guardian, yeah.
And I understand you guys led him astray on more than one occasion.
Possibly. Yeah, I think so. I think there again, Miss Prince might have been something to do with that.
Okay. Hey, and tell me, at that time, were Viv's days and the Pretty Things already numbered, or was that after the New Zealand tour?
It was really after the New Zealand tour. I mean, it became really a bit hard to handle, and kind of, quite difficult, and drinking masses. And the final thing which happened was... we were playing at, I think it was the Twisted Wheel in Manchester, and he wouldn't play. He just refused to play. He said, I'm not playing because they won't let me in the pub across the road, and yet all the audience are allowed in there. What he didn't realise was that he had been in a hotel which was at the back of the pub, with the Kinks. And they caused a bit of a problem in the bar or I don't know, in the hotel rooms or something. And he had been, he'd been chucked out the night before. He didn't realise it was the same place as he had been chucked out from the night before. And in the end, we said, look, you better go home.
So how did you finish the show? Did you pull someone out?
Yeah, we actually got the drummer from Hedgehoppers Anonymous who came and played with us. And then we recruited, before then, where Viv had stayed in New Zealand. I don't think he was allowed on the plane because he was too drunk to come back. So he had stayed in New Zealand, as had Brian Morrison, our manager, who got sick. And he was there for a couple of weeks. And we recruited our next drummer, who was Skip Allen, Alan Skipper.
Yeah.
And also, for a couple of weeks also, we had Mitch Mitchell.
Oh, wow.
And for some reason, Phil... And Phil wasn't happy with Mitch Mitchell. They didn't really get on, funny enough. I really don't know why. So we went back to Skip, who proved... who also used to get up on stage antics with coming off of drums and what have you, and generally messing about on stage. But Skip stayed with us for years and years.
And Skip partly lied about his age or didn't divulge how young he was, is that correct?
Yeah. We only found out that he was 16 sometime after he joined us.
Well, I'm sure he probably aged quite a bit after a few years in the Pretty Things.
He must have had chops to keep you in the dark at 16.
Yeah. The funny thing is that the drummer in the final incarnation of the Pretty Things, which was actually a very long-lasting one, Jack Greenwood, he was 16 when he started playing with us, when we were, shall we say, considerably older than that. And he played with us up until our very last show.
Right, and he did the last New Zealand shows in 2012, right?
Yeah.
He was a good drummer.
Yeah, no, he was great, Jack. Yeah, just, and a really nice guy.
Oh, lovely. Just getting on to another thing, that I'm just holding the second Pretty Things album, Get the Picture, and you know, you're lying on your backs and Viv is asleep.
Well, reputedly.
Well, his eyes are closed, yeah.
His eyes are closed, yeah.
He's having a snooze, yeah. And then when you open up this Norton version of it, you see this, I mean, I've always wanted to ask you, but, you know, the picture of Viv after he'd spent the night with a heavyweight boxer in Denmark. Do you care sharing that story with us, Dick?
Yeah, well, Viv had a great habit of being very friendly with people. You know, the syndrome of, oh, you're my best friend in the world. And then 10 minutes later, you're a bastard, blah, 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 blah. And he did this, apparently, with the brother of the heavyweight champion of the world, who at that time was a Danish guy, and his name has just eluded me. They fell out, and Viv rather got the worst of it.
Yeah, for those dirtbag listeners who haven't seen it, if you look up photos of Viv Prince's, he looks like he's been hit by a train.
We were looking at it today at my work, and everyone was pretty impressed with how bad it is there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really unfortunate. It took a couple of weeks for him to recover from that. I think we might have used Skip then as well, possibly.
Okay, but yeah, then his days were, you know, as we said earlier, were certainly numbered.
Hey, Dick, you were telling me off air about something that you're doing at the moment. Was it you found some vocal tracks?
Yeah. What it was before we did our final show, and before we realised that Phil, our singer, couldn't really stand touring anymore because of his health issues. Phil came to my house, and I'd done a few backing tracks because to try and see if I could get some vocals out of Phil, and if this was not a live show, I'd say, can you edit that bit out where I stumbled over my words? I'd done these backing tracks of a few things which I thought might be good ideas for songs, including one, funny enough, which was we'd done a track on SSRI called Death, and it was a kind of, not the same song, but a kind of nod back to that, in the sense that I said, look, Phil, let's do a song about death. Really cheery subject. Yeah. And anyway, there's a box set, which is called Rarities, coming out, which is all things like live shows, rehearsals, a few tracks which haven't been released. And I thought, I'm going to have a listen to these things, which I did with Phil. And when I listened to Phil's vocals, I thought, these are really, really quite special. So I took what we had to a local studio, a guy called James Thorpe, who's very, very clever. And we used my original backing tracks, put live drums on, and did some more guitars and what have you. And they're now going to be on this Rarities album. And also, we're going to do, hopefully, a Record Store Day single, or 10-inch, EP, vinyl EP. We're just at the moment recording the last one, which isn't Phil's singing, but we're using some of his spoken words on it and reprising a few Pretty Things tracks, and kind of, yeah. It's quite an interesting thing that we're doing.
Oh, great. So,
so we're going to... So hopefully that will come out in the next few months.
So you haven't retired yet, Dick?
Actually, I'm doing three gigs this weekend because today is a bank holiday here. And I did a gig. I did two gigs over the weekend. So three in a row.
Do you do any Pretty Things numbers?
A couple. I try to avoid it largely.
Yeah.
This is with a local band doing. Well, the two I just done are with a band doing rock and roll, rocky bluesy stuff. And tonight, I'm playing with a brother and sister who, and a really really good drummer who stays on his drums. And we're called the Royal Blues Project. And yeah, it's very good fun. I love playing.
And just with that comment about the drummer staying on his drums, what did you guys think the first time you saw Viv get off his drum stool and wander around the stage, hitting everything in sight?
Yes. Kind of struck dumb like I am at the moment, I think. Yeah, but we just thought, what the hell's going on? You know, and then realised the good thing about it was he actually kept drumming. It was just he was drumming on anything but a set of drums, including the bass player's strings.
Wow, okay. And the crowd loved it?
Yep, the crowd always enjoyed it.
Okay. Hey, and Dick, almost wrapping up, but the last two shows in New Zealand, you played in this in a club that's not that far from here called the Top 20.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of school holiday shows. What can you remember about those shows? Do you remember a local band called the Dark Ages?
Oh, yes, indeed, yeah. Yeah, there was good, very good people on that I can remember. But it was really, really a very enjoyable thing to come back and again have a drummer who stayed largely on his drum stool.
Okay. And Dick, I've got to ask you, do you ever catch up with the Rolling Stones?
The last time I spoke to Keith was actually 2007, I think, because they played on the Isle of Wight, where I live, and I got an invite to go and see him, which of course we did. I didn't speak to Mick, unfortunately, because always before shows he stays holed up in his dressing room, apparently.
Oh, okay.
But I had a good chat with Keith. It was really good to see him.
Oh, good. Because how many shows did you do in that embryonic?
Only a very few, but we rehearsed quite a lot. And of course, I was in the band with Mick, and for a short while with Keith as well, which was called Little Boy Blue and the Blue Boys. Which I think was Mick's idea of a name. I wasn't so sure about that one. But we never did any gigs. And then it morphed into, we met Brian Jones and then became the Rolling Stones. Wow. And like I say, we rehearsed quite a lot. But I was playing bass and really did want to play guitar. The funny thing is, on the on these tracks we just done, and I did all the bass, and I played bass on quite a few.
Back to the beginning.
Later,
full circle.
Yeah. At least these days I played the guitar as well. So there you go on the tracks. Yeah, God, sorry.
Hey, Dick, hey, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us.
Yes, truly, truly, thank you.
All the way from the Isle of Wight. Remembering 60 years ago this week.
Yeah, okay. I will try. Yes. I have a few dim recollections of it.
No,
they're not that dim, actually. No, I love coming to New Zealand. And it's very interesting.
And we loved having you. And am I right, the shows in New Zealand, you would open the set with Roadrunner?
I believe we did, yeah. Which we did, yes, very, very often all throughout our career. We used to start with that.
And can you remember much about recording that for the first album? Because we've got it queued up now.
Oh, right. Yeah, well, again, standout place. Bobby Graham behind the desk. Rehearsing it a bit beforehand. Doing it largely live because that's how we recorded the first album.
That's the best way to record.
Anyway.
Fantastic. Hey, Dick.
All right. Nice talking to you.
Great talking to you.
Thank you so much, Dick. And
All right. Cheers.
We'll hope to get copies of your rarities and the newer stuff down these ways as soon as it's ready.
Okay. Lovely. Cheers.
And good luck with the gig tonight. And we'll go out with Roadrunner.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Cheers. All right,
cheers.
Thank you, Dick.
Thanks. Bye.
Wow, Dick Taylor.
Let's hit it, eh? Bit of Roadrunner, there's pretty things.
I'm a Roadrunner, honey. Baby.